Shrestham Manamapi Sachi Putram Natra Swarupam Rupam Dashugrajam Murupurim Maturim Ghostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Ahoradika Madhavasam Prapto Yashapatita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Ajanalam Bhuto Bhujo Kanakavadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalayatakshu Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharmapalo Vande Jagapriyakaro Karuna Avataro Anapita Chirim Chirat Karuna avatirna kalo samarpaitam manushvala rasam svabhakti shriyam Hari purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipitaha sada hridaya kandare spadatuva sachinandanaha Utama adama kichuna bachila jachiya dileka kola Kahe premananda emona goranga ridoya dariya bola Bhaja goranga kaha goranga laha goranga namore Bhaja goranga kaha goranga laha goranga Chejana goranga bhaje se hoy amar kanare Chejana goranga bhaje se hoy amar kanare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yashyaiva padam bhuja bhakti labhya, prema bidhana parama pumarta, tasmai jagan mangala mangalaya, chaitanya chandraya namo namaste, chaitanya chandraya namo namaste, chaitanya chandraya namo namaste, Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabala Bapahiman Vancha Kopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, before we begin, we'd like to ask all of you to please be our friend. And come close. We took a bath this morning. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Please come very close. So we have a certain topic in front of us today. But we would like this to be a Vaishnava Sangha. I'm not a teacher or a sadhu or something like that. We're just some student who's coming to share some little things. But I'd also like to hear something from you. Today, we'd like to speak about what is Bhagyavan. What is good fortune? Now, this will be understood by many different people in many different ways. So I'd like to ask some of you, what would you think would be good fortune? What would you think would be?
To get service for the Vaishnavas?
To get service for the Vaishnavas. He's a very saintly person. Some people might think that to meet Barack Obama, that's good fortune. Or to meet Mick Jagger. Something like that. What else would someone say? What is good fortune? What would you think?
To meet a sadhu.
Oh, that's very nice. Anything else?
To live in the holy Dhamma.
To live in the holy Dhamma. It's a good fortune.
Have constant sources of inspiration. To have constant sources of inspiration.
To have a constant source of inspiration. See, this question is a question from the heart. And in this realm of the heart, there's no exactly right or wrong. Everyone is right. Nakaji?
To receive the mercy of a pure devotee.
To receive the mercy of a pure devotee. See, each one of these expressions, these are our personal understandings and feelings. What is good fortune? Prabhuji.
Thinking about Krishna all 24 hours.
Very beautiful thing. That's a very good fortune. To always think about Krishna for 24 hours a day. Prabhuji? Yes. We're going to sing that. He already knows. He's a pundit. Prabhuji's saying that I'm a pundit, but I'm not a pundit. I don't know anything. Okay, anything else to say? So, we'll sing you a verse. This is from the Madhya Lila, chapter 19, of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in this verse, very important verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami what is good fortune. Is someone playing a danga here? Last time a danga player.
Is there a danga?
So we'll sing this in our little tune. And because probably most of you don't know this verse, then you can chant Hare Krishna in response. Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Srila Prabhupada translates. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. It's kind of a long vacation. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Not always a pleasant vacation. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who's very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service, the Bhakti Lata Beej. Beej means a seed. The seed of bhakti. Very nice, important thing. Srila Prabhupada describes in his purport. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of many millions of universes. In all the universes, there are innumerable planets and there are innumerable living entities upon those planets, in the air, on the land, in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere. If you were to take one square inch of space, you can't count how many living entities there are in that one square inch. So many germs and microbes and living entities are there. And we're thinking we're very significant. Prabhupada says, there are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying results of their fruit of activity, life after life. This is a position of the materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, one who is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. And if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity, by chance or fortune, comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet the bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. And as soon as a living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a fortunate person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He's helped from within by Krishna and from without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from material bondage. So, just recently, we published a new book, which took us a few years to compile. And this, I guess, is our first launching of this book. You're all very fortunate. Here in Switzerland, this book is called When Good Fortune Arises. And this is a story of the life and teachings of one very saintly person in our Krishna consciousness movement, Sri Srimad Gaura Govinda Swami. But the book is not just a hagiography or a story about someone's life. We wanted to compile this book so that it would be something experiential, so that the readers themselves could have some practical experience. Tell you, actually the book is about my revered spiritual master. But I wanted to try to avoid the syndrome which in Bengali we call Amar Guru Jagat Guru. My Guru Maharaj is very great. Rather, we wanted to present someone who actually doesn't belong to me and allow the readers of dignity to meet him on their own. We wanted really people to experience something of the concept of when good fortune arises. A very, very important concept. Everyone in this world, they want some good fortune. And as we were saying a moment ago, that differs for different people. For some people, they'll consider that good fortune means meeting some rock star, or finding a million francs on the ground in front of you. Very good day. Good fortune has arisen. In America, there was one such person who wanted good fortune in the form of money. It's a true story. And he bought a lottery ticket. He was a poor man. And he won the lottery, something like $30 million. Very good day. He was very happy. Good fortune had arisen for him. That man was a very happy man. He got his money. And I think 1 or 2 years later, someone went to interview him. So, what was your experience? Very good. What do you think of this? And he said, actually, finding that money was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It was a true story. After I got that money, my home was broken into nearly 20 times by people trying to steal money from me. Huh? And every day, all day long, people were coming to my door and knocking on the door. Hey, Frank, remember me? We were friends in first grade together. Oh, long time no see. Hey, could I have a little money? All of a sudden, he said, I had no friends. I had so many friends. But I had no friends. Huh? And my wife, she bought a nice new car and this thing and that thing. And then after a little while, she left me. And my daughter, I also bought a car for her and gave her so many things. And then she started taking drugs. And she overdosed on drugs and she died. He said, having that money was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I just wish I could undo that and not have that money. But how many of us would think like that? Really honestly, raise your hand. How many of you would think it was very bad if you got $3 million? Can we say that? We think, I would do something different. It would be different for me. We think like that. The materially engrossed personality has so many fantasies. We have so many hopes. And our Krishna conscious movement is teaching us that if you want to become a sadhu, you have to become hopeless. you have to give up all hopes. There are many lusty young men in this world who find a beautiful young girl and they get married. And it doesn't work out. She leaves him for another guy. So anyway, there's another girl there. This one time it'll be different. So he marries again. After six or seven such times, you know, six or seven ladies leaving him and kicking him in the face and suffering, he's still thinking, maybe this one will be different. Because he has some hope. So as long as that hope is there, that material hope, as long as that fantasy is there, we're living in a dream world. We don't see that actually this place is a very depressing place. Because of illusion, because of Maya, we don't see the simple fact that everyone here so far has died. And everyone else is going to die. And if we speak like this, someone will say, don't speak like that. You're going to ruin the party. Once there was one person in America, it's a true story, his name was Stumba. After he got initiated, he was initiated by Prabhupada and got the name Stumba Das. Before he became a devotee, he was going to the university. And one day, he didn't know anything about Krishna. But he was becoming inquisitive. He's beginning to wonder, what is the meaning of life? And he wasn't feeling satisfied with the answers he was being given every day. So one day, someone invited him to one of those college parties. I don't know if you've ever been to such a party, but all the boys and girls are drinking and smoking and talking. And he wasn't feeling part of it. So he was sitting off in the corner by himself, wondering why. He just didn't feel like he fit in. And after a little while, some very beautiful young college girl came over to him and said, hi, what's your name? What are you doing? And she just started speaking to him. And have you heard this and that? And I don't know, whatever kind of things that beautiful young college girls like to speak about. She was going on and on. And he didn't say anything. Finally, she became a little quiet. And then he said, really from his heart, he said, have you ever thought about death? And she became very disturbed. She said, you can't talk like that here. You'll spoil the whole party. So if we come and start speaking like this, you'll become a little disturbed with this. You'll spoil the whole party. I have a very nice fantasy I'm living in, like Disney World. And everything's very nice. Don't speak like this. So for such a person, good fortune means getting some money, meeting some so-called famous person. Jagadananda Pandit, he describes in his Prema Vivarta about good fortune. This is a movie going on near you right now, huh? The movie called My Life. The living entities in this world, they're captured by Maya. And they become like someone possessed by a ghost. And they're trying to enjoy. Just like a ghost. Ghost can't enjoy. It can't. It has desires. It can smell. It can smell nice food. It has a desire to eat. But he can't eat. He can't enjoy sex life or smoking a cigarette or drinking water. So the ghost wants to enter someone's body. And through that, try to enjoy. So we have so many ghost-like desires in this world. And we can't understand about our own position. Just like in the middle of Switzerland, you have so many creeks, streams, just outside the temple. There's a very nice stream coming down. But during the day, you can't hear the very beautiful sound of that water. because there's so many trucks and cars and buses and vehicles coming by and people playing loud music. But at nighttime, when all the trucks and the buses stop, then at that time, you can hear the sound of that creek. Similarly, in our heart, there's a great, in English we call it a cacophony, very nice word, means a great noise, huge noise going on. We have so many different radios playing, buy this, drink this, hope for this, maybe this one will be different, hey, she looks really good, whoa, you can have a good time this time. So many voices are there in our heart. And because of all the noise there in our heart, we can't hear the sound of our soul. So Jagadananda Pandit speaks about that. Those living entities are like possessed by a ghost. They become servants of Maya. Ami Sada Krishna Das Ekata Bhule Maya Rana Para Hare Kira Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Hare. He's forgotten his position as a servant of Krishna, but he's still a servant, only now he's serving someone who's kicking him in the face. He's serving Maya. He's become a slave of Maya. And he's traveling. He's on eternal vacation. Once I saw a movie made by some Christian person, very interesting movie, about someone who finds the, the spring of life, some water in a distant place, which would make you live for eternity. Very good day. And this person drank the water, he didn't have to die. But then as the movie goes on, he was suffering like anything. Because all of his friends and everyone else were dying around him, and he never really could satisfy his desires, and he was just stuck here. Sometimes people, they want to go on vacation. And they've made, I think, some, it was in America when I was a boy, they had a TV show called The Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone. Sometimes we have someone who's going on vacation, and he goes on vacation for eternity. And it's like being in hell. So that's our kind of vacation, of the living entity. Kiva Raja Kiva Praja Kabo Kiva Sudra Kabo Vita Kabo Sudhi Kabo. The jiva is going through so many births on our long vacation, our fantasy. And sometimes he becomes a king. Sometimes Kabu Swarge, he goes to the heavenly planets. Sometimes he goes to hell. Sometimes he becomes a Brahmin. Sometimes a Devata. Sometimes he becomes a demon. And sometimes he becomes someone's servant. Brahmite Kona Jeev, wandering around on our vacation from hell, our unlimited vacation. If by good chance, Bhagyavan, someone really becomes fortunate, then Sadhu Sange Nija Tattva Avagata Hana. They meet a sadhu, and the sadhu tells them, hey Baba, what are you doing? My Guru Maharaj, he told us a story. Once, Indra's a big man. He's bigger than Barak Obama. He's the king of the heavenly planets. And he enjoys so much. But one day he made a big mistake. He did some offense to his Guru Maharaj, Brihaspati. And Brihaspati told him, he said, Indra, you're not behaving like the king of the devas. You're behaving like a pig. So, you don't belong here, Baba. Better you become a pig. And he cursed him. And Indra became a pig here on the earthly planet. But it wasn't such a bad life. There were many nice things. He had his piggy wife. And she was very nice and big piggy wife. Very attractive to other piggies. And he had lots of nice things to eat. Very nice stool. Very fresh and hot. He was very, very happy like this. But meanwhile, in Swargalok, some problem came. There was no temple president. You may not like the temple president. You may not agree with him. But if he's not there, some problems will come. Who's going to organize things? So the devas were complaining. And they went to Lord Brahma. Hey, Pitamaha, hey, grandfather, this problem is there. We have no more Indra. What happened? Oh, he made some mistake. He became a pig. So Brahma said, no problem. I'll go and take care of things. So he went down and he said, hey, Indra. And the pig looked at him. Like this. And Brahma said, no, not. You're Indra, Baba. You belong to Swargalok. You should come back there. And that pig looked at him, his little piggy eyes. What is Swargalok? Very nice place. So many nice things are there to eat. Fantastic Amrit. You'll never die. What is that Amrit? Oh, very, very tasty. And the pig, he said, is there stool to eat there? Brahma said, no, Baba, there's no stool. Yeah, very nice. Rasgulas, ladus, very nice. No stool. I don't want to go. He said, Baba, there's very beautiful apsaras. Ooh, so beautiful girls. He said, can my piggy wife come? He said, no, Baba, these apsaras are much better than your piggy wife. No, I don't want to go there. So Brahma saw that he was attached. And he had all of his little piggy children, and he had his piggy future. He was planning on sending his little piggy children to the university so they could have a very nice piggy life, and they could find a nice piggy wife, and have a nice piggy house, and a nice piggy car, and have a good piggy life. Does that sound familiar? So Brahma saw that he had this attachment. So he killed all of his baby piggies. But Indra, in the form of the pig, just became angry and started to attack Lord Brahma. And then Lord Brahma saw, oh, he's not become hopeless yet. He still has one hope left. Mrs. Piggy is still there. And as long as she's there, he has some future. So he also killed Mrs. Piggy. Oh. So Krishna tells Yudhishthira Maharaj in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Yashaham manabhinami If I really give mercy to someone, I take away everything from them. And they become hopeless. They have no more money. And then their friends don't care for them anymore. Their wife leaves them. You have no more money. You can't take care of me. I'll go somewhere else. And Krishna says, Yashaham anugrinami. This is my anugraha, my mercy. Does that sound like mercy? How do we understand that? There are many people in this world who were rich at one time, and then they lost all their money. But we don't see that they become devotees of God. So can we accept this statement, that simply by losing your money, that you get mercy? Then if that's all it requires, you can all go home today and take all the money out from your bank account, and you can burn it. And then you'll become fortunate. And you'll get Krishna bhakti. If only it were so easy. Not so easy. So the next verse describes Sayada Vidata Yoga Nirvina Shadhanehaya Matparai Krita Maitrasya Krishe Maranugraham. No, this is my mercy, my anugraha, because in that situation, all of his friends leave him. He has no more money. He's no more fun. He wants to go hang out with his Hare Krishna people. All he wants to talk about is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I can't talk with him anymore about movies or the Rolling Stones concert or this thing or that thing. Now he's become a crazy fellow. So all their friends leave him. And then at that time, Krishna says, I give my mercy because they make friends with my devotees. And this is when good fortune arises. When we actually make friends with the devotees. When we take shelter of the devotees. Not just that, oh, this is a very entertaining thing. The guy told a lot of good jokes at the Sunday Feast program. Mm-hmm. Nice food, some pretty girls are there. Yeah, it's cultural, I like it, I'll go. Mm-hmm. That's not really a member. My Guru Maharaji used to say, what is ISKCON? Not a trick question. He said, ISKCON is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Then he said, who's really a member? That's more difficult. He said, someone who's really Krishna conscious. And once he said that, and he pointed at me, and he said, Madhavananda, not joined. Sometimes devotees, they ask me, when did you join ISKCON? I say, well, I'd like to, but I haven't yet. Because really, this society is a society for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says that Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity, by chance or fortune, comes in contact with the Krishna conscious movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, gives him a chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. I don't want to disturb anyone. I don't want to say anything that's going to get me in trouble with Krishna Prem Rup Prabhu. But this is not an ecclesiastical, what's the better word, a religious function. It's not just that you come here and you stay for 2 weeks and you live, join the bhakti program, you get bhakti shastri, and after you've been in the temple for a year and you do 16 of these and 4 of those, then they give you a recommendation and you can pick out a guru. And then you go to Krishna Prem Rupa Prabhuji, can you give me a printout of all the different gurus in ISKCON? And give me pictures also. And I can look at them. Oh, this one looks very handsome. Yes. Oh, this one here, I heard he's a very good rock and roll musician also. I like that. That's very good. This one has lots of followers. Yes, must be bona fide. And so we pick a guru like that. Once I did a home program in someone's house in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And before the program began, the lady of the house, she was talking with me, and she said, you know, I want to take initiation from XYZ Maharaj. She mentioned one Maharaj. And I said, oh, that's very nice. He's a very nice sadhu. And she said, do you know why I want to take initiation from him? I said, no, Mataji, I don't know why. She said, because he's very good with children. She had 3 children. So that was a very important consideration for her. So I didn't want to hurt her feelings. But I thought to myself, if that's your criterion for guru, then you should go to some kindergarten. You'll find some professional person who's very good with children, and you can have a guru very easy, and you don't have to give so much bakshish. You don't have to surrender, very easy thing. Why do that? So we should have a proper desire. And Jagannanda Pandit, he says that after wandering for so long, if we come in contact with the devotee, we make friends with the devotee. And the devotee speaks to us about nija tattva, just like Lord Brahma is speaking to Indra. Hey, Baba, you're not a pig. We need someone to come and tell us, you're not a pig. And the purpose of life is not to eat stool. The purpose of life is not just to be a consumer. Make money, buy a house, buy a car, and buy lots of little toys. And as the sticker says in America, he who dies with the most toys wins. And that's the purpose of life. So sad. So very, very sad. We need someone to come and tell us, you're not a pig. There's something more to life. You're not just a consumer. Nijatattva janiya samsara nachai Kina baba jumaya bode hoi hoi Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna When the living entity hears this, you're not a pig anymore. Oh, I'm not a pig. Oh, all those things you're telling me on TV is not true. The purpose of my life is not just to make money and spend it and be a good consumer. There's some deeper meaning to my life. Huh? Then at that time, he no longer wants material entanglement. And he begins to lament. Kenuva bajinu moi kori hoi hoi. Kende bole ohe Krishna ami tevadas. Something which is called Atma Kranda. We came here to Switzerland last, what was it, 3 years ago? 2 years ago? I don't.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. It's a funny story. We were in Budapest just before we came that year, and as we were going around, I saw some posters advertising a concert by Natalie Cole. You probably don't know who that is. She's a daughter of a famous kind of jazz blues musician named Nat King Cole. I liked that kind of thing when I was younger. So I saw her poster, and I wasn't interested in going, but I thought, this looks like a very cultured thing, something thoughtful, and I had some appreciation. And then somehow, by Krishna's arrangement, when we got on the plane, I found there's some young American man sitting next to me. I can tell Americans, I know. And I asked him, what's your name? He said, oh, I'm such and such, what do you do? I'm a piano player for Natalie Cole. And that's her sitting right up there, and the bass player's right over here, and the drummer's here. Really. And we started having such a nice talk. We spoke together about art and bhakti, and how the two have so much in common. Both should be ahoitiki, unmotivated. You don't sell out. If you're just doing art for money, you're selling out. Similarly for bhakti, like this, we were speaking some things, and somehow he liked it. And he wanted to exchange some addresses and things. So after we got off the plane, we were getting our bags. And then I didn't find him. But then I saw off to the side Natalie Cole. And I just got some inspiration. I'm a bold person. I was dressed like a Hare Krishna devotee, one of those strange fellows with a sheet on in the kurta. And I walked over to her, very boldly. I just grabbed her hands. I said, hey, are you Natalie Cole? And she said, she's not expecting some Hare Krishna person to walk up to her in the airport and grab her hands, ask like that. She said, well, yes. And I said, really? I heard about your concert, and I heard so many people were coming, and I just want to thank you so much. You're doing such a nice cultural thing, and you're making people think. And she said, oh, well, thank you. And I said, and I wanted to give you something. And I gave her one of our magazines, our Krishna Kathamrita magazine. She says, this is something that I do. It's also a little something artistic, a little thoughtful. Maybe you get some idea from it. And she said, what are you doing here in Switzerland? And I said, we were going to the summer retreat. And I said, I'm coming here to give some seminar. And she said, oh, what are you going to speak on? And I told her, I'm going to speak about the crying of the soul. And when she heard that, she said, wow. That's really deep. I like that. So the crying of the soul, in Sanskrit we say Atma Krandana. This is when your spiritual life begins. I don't mean to make anybody in the temple upset, but it doesn't begin just when you give some money and become a life member, or you buy a book, you give some donation. It begins when we begin to cry. Kande bole, oh hey Krishna, Amitabha Das. We cry, oh Krishna, I'm your servant. Toma charanachari hoila sarvanas. But somehow I gave up your lotus feet, and now everything in my life has become useless. Kripa kori Krishna tari charanasamsara. Thank you. Krishna Tari Charana Sansar. Krishna is so kind. He's just waiting for this thing. He's waiting for us to cry. He's waiting for us to call out to him in this mood. In the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna that who he really belongs to. We often quote this verse. Some people say that God belongs to the church. Christian church, but would you say no? Some people say he belongs to the mosque. Other people say he belongs to the synagogue. Synagogue, the Jewish temple. Other people say, no. He belongs to the Hindus. And some people say he belongs to the Hare Krishnas. But Krishna says, actually, I don't belong to any of those fellows. Not even the Hare Krishnas. I hope I don't get in trouble. Krishna tells Arjuna, Gatvacha mama namani rudanti mama sanido teshamaham parikrita nanyakrito janardana. I don't belong to any of those people. I only belong to one person who's chanting my names and crying. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, dana. Yoga, bhakti yoga, dana. Bhakti is the greatest wealth. Bhakti is the greatest wealth. Bhakti is the greatest wealth. Why are you working so hard trying to get some insignificant money? Bhakti is the real wealth. Okay. What is bhakti? Bhakti a Krishna nama. Bhakti is Krishna's name, but not just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What's on the TV, Smayana Krandana. It means chanting Krishna's names and remembering him. Not watching the football match and chanting my rounds at the same time. Or watching some movie. It means thinking of Krishna. And it means crying. That's real chanting. Prabhupada said that. He said, this chanting of Hare Krishna is exactly like the cry of a child for the mother. Once there was a mother who some guest was coming to the house and she had to cook. But she had a problem. She had a 6-month-old baby and she had a 6-year-old boy. And the baby was crying and crying and she's trying to cook, but she couldn't go. Only a mother can understand this. So she told the 6-year-old, she gave him a few dollars or something, and said, go down to the corner and you buy, there's a shiny red toy in the market, you buy that thing and bring it. Yes, mother. So the little boy went down and bought the toy and came back, and the mother gave the toy to the baby. And the baby got the toy. Oh! And the baby stopped crying. And he was looking, and the mother started cooking. And then after a little while, the baby started crying again. And the mother came again and started shaking the little red toy. Oh! And then the baby took the toy again. And again the mother was able to go and start cooking. After some time this went on again and again. The mother would come in different ways, entertain the baby with the toy. But at a certain point, the baby took the toy and threw it. And started screaming. And the mothers know that sound. Okay, can't give him the toy anymore. Now he wants me. And there's nothing else that I can do. I have to stop cooking. So Krishna's like that. We cry a little bit. Oh, I lost my girlfriend. Oh, I lost my job. Nobody likes me. My feet smell bad. We cry for so many different things. And then Krishna gives us a toy. Oh, I have a new cell phone. This is really cool. Life's fun. Or we get a new computer, or a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend, a new guitar, a car, or so many toys. We get, and we stop our crying. So that's not real crying. We have to come to the point where I don't want any more toys. We have to begin Atmakrandana, the crying of the soul. And when Krishna hears that we're crying like that, immediately he comes. And this is Brahmanda Brahmite Kaum Bhagyavan Jeev. This is the moment when good fortune arises. Our revered spiritual master spoke some things about that. Maybe we'll tell you a few little stories from this book. I know we'll get a little late, I'll be quick. First of all, we'll tell you a little some stories about his life. Very interesting person. When he was a little baby, his mother found he would start crying. 6-month-old baby or something. And she was trying, giving him little toys, giving him her breast, doing this and that, but nothing worked. But she saw the baby was reaching out. They had a palm leaf copy of Srimad Bhagavatam in their house. And the baby was reaching out for that book. But you don't give a baby a book. But he kept reaching for it. So finally she gave him the book, and immediately he stopped crying. And then she found that whenever he would start crying, if she gave him the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would stop crying. And he grew up as a young boy. Every night he couldn't sleep unless the Bhagavatam was there. And he would keep it clutched to his chest. And as a young boy, maybe 4 years old, he started reading the Bhagavatam. By the time he was 8 years old, he'd finished reading the Gita, the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And sometimes he was giving talks in nearby temple about these subject matters. And he was a very different kind of boy. He didn't like to play with the other children. And he was very, very serious about spiritual life. His auntie, who was kind of a nanny for him, she passed away a few years ago. But before she passed away, she told us one story. She said that he was always very different. His name when he was young was Braj Bandhu, which means the friend of the residents of Vrindavan. And he didn't like to play with the other children, but he always just wanted to do service for Gopal. And he wanted to do kirtan. His family were doing 24-hour Hare Krishna kirtan very often. He was very eager for that. And she said once, one story is there, he was about 5 years old. And he went to Gopal's temple and he was collecting some moon doll. A green moon doll. I don't know. I grew up in a farm area in America. And as a young boy, we used to go and pick the wheat before it was ripe. And we would eat that very tasty, nice thing. So in Orissa, the boys were doing like that also with the moon doll. But he wasn't exactly doing it. He was picking that and putting it in his hand. He wanted to offer it to Gopal. Little five-year-old boy, little hand. And he would pick as many as he could. Then he walked over and put them down on the ground near Gopal's temple. And he went back to get more. And when he came back again, he found that his little pile of moon doll was gone. And he became disturbed. Little boys become disturbed like that. So he went back and he was picking more. And he came back again. And again it was gone. So the third time he went, he was looking back. And then he saw some little boy coming and stealing his moon doll. He became very angry and he started running and shouting. And just around that time, his uncle, Gopinath Giri, who was considered to be a Paramahansa, came to that temple and he saw something very strange. He saw Braj Bandhu, the little boy, running around in circles by himself, like he's chasing someone around the temple. And then suddenly, right in front of Braj Bandhu, he saw a shadow going to the temple. And Gopinath Giri, the hair stood on end on his body, and he realized, my nephew, he's chasing Gopal. A very special boy. When he was a young man, I don't know his age, I think 17 or 18, his mother decided he must get married. Our Fakir Mohan Prabhu was there at the wedding ceremony. And he told us that Braj Bandhu, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, was not happy. Everybody was having a good time and they're drinking and talking and having dancing, whatever you do at a wedding. And by himself, sitting off in the corner, was Braj Bandhu. He met his wife at the wedding. He wasn't interested in material life. He only married because his mother insisted, because no one was there to take care of the family when his father passed away. So he became a school teacher. But he always desired to dedicate his life to Gopal, the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted to find a guru. He wanted three things from that guru. Because there were three things that he grew up with that he had faith in. Srimad Bhagavatam. the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a long story in this book, how he managed to escape from home. And many astonishing stories are there. And he went, he said, all over India, from Cape Comorin in the south to the Himalayan mountains, looking for someone who would have these three things. But he couldn't find anyone. Finally, he thought, I'll go to Vrindavan. There in Vrindavan is Krishna's place. Surely I'll find what I'm looking for. So he went to Vrindavan, and he was wandering around with some sadhus in a place called Ramanreti. And he saw a big sign, ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There was no temple at that time. And he became a little curious, what is this? And he went over there to see, and he was very astonished to see some Bideshis, Angres Bhaktas, white people, with dhoti and kirtan, shaved head, japamala. He was used to japamala and shaved head and dhoti and kirtan, but he'd never seen a Westerner like that. And then someone came and gave him a magazine. Hey, this is Back to Godhead. So he opened it up, and what did he find? There's a section on Srimad Bhagavatam. And oh, look, the Hare Krishna mantra. And an article about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told him, I'd like to meet your guru. Is he here? And the devotee said, yes, Prabhupada is here. I'd like to please meet him. So Brahmananda Maharaj at the time was Prabhupada's secretary. And he, Rajbandhu, who called himself at that time Gaur Gopala Nanda after leaving home, he said, can I meet your Swami? He said, you wait out here. So Brahmananda went and said, Prabhupada, there's some sadhu here. He wants to see. Oh, send him in. So Gorgavinda Maharaj went in and offered obeisances to Prabhupada. And he later said that Prabhupada, the first thing that he asked him, he said, have you taken sannyas? Bajbandhu said, no. And Prabhupada said, I'll give you sannyas. And Brajbandhu Gorgavinda Maharaj, he said, and I realized this is my Guru Maharaj. Because he's a manifestation of the Antaryami. He knows my heart. And he often told this story. And he said, this is when good fortune arose. And he traveled all over the world. Prabhupada told him, he gave him several instructions, one of which was, he told him that you should travel around the world and preach to the devotees. Little unusual instruction. Generally, Prabhupada wasn't doing it, but Gorgavinda Maharaj was raised in a Gaudiya Vaishnava family. He knew Siddhanta and things. So he did like that. But when he traveled, he found a very sad situation. The situation was something like that when I first met him in America in 1991. He came there and he saw that the devotees had lost faith. That there had been some big gurus, big swamis, and people had taken initiation from them. And then later, very sadly, they had some problem, and they went away. And then the devotees, they lost all faith. And they said, there's nobody bona fide. There's no bona fide gurus. And he went there, and he preached to them. He said, don't think like that. You have to have faith. Be positive. Krishna's there. You just pray to Krishna, cry to Krishna. He'll reveal to you who sadhu is. And he spoke like this. He spoke so much. His life was an example of when good fortune arises. And his teachings were based on this principle of when good fortune arises. He wanted to teach the devotees that good fortune is there. But we can't complain about the temple. I joined ISKCON. And they gave me a fall-down guru. They're bogus people. Are Baba, did someone put a gun to your head and tell you have to take initiation from him? You chose that thing. It was your desire. We have to accept responsibility. I wasn't crying. I wasn't sincere enough. If we're sincere, then definitely Krishna, he'll send someone. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's described in one article, at the dawn, at the beginning of our spiritual life, we sincerely and with complete submission and self-surrender pray to God for receiving the protection of Sadguru, the Supreme Lord, perceiving when he sees our earnestness and devotion, when he sees our sincerity, He tests how much you really want that, or do you want this little red toy? Very cute toy, very nice. You can have this toy. I'll give you another toy also. What do you really want? If he sees I don't want any damn toys, then with a view to guide us on the true path, he'll send a real guru to us. Otherwise, he says, it's impossible for us to find Sadguru, Sad means true, Sadguru by our own fallible energy. We don't have the qualification, the ability to see who that person is. He said, if we guide ourselves by our own energy, we'll come across the false gurus. Oh. And being caught hold of by them with their temporary pleasing manners. They flatter me. I like him. Very nice, Maharaj. Then we'll run down to hell. So we made a little book about this before called How to Find Guru. Many statements are there from Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas. We have to cry for Krishna. And a kind of revolution happened in our society in a small way for many devotees, myself included. One such devotee, his name was Sanatan Das. He's a good friend of mine. And his guru had left, and he'd lost faith. All the gurus, he thought everybody was bogus, and he was only taking shelter of Prabhupada. And then one day someone came and said, there's some Maharaj coming to San Francisco. His name's Gorgovinda Maharaj, and he's a sadhu. So Sanatan got some hope. Yes, I'll go there also. So he went there to San Francisco, and he went to the program. He got to the program a little late. There was no place to sit. I'm telling you, this is a story from his book. And so he saw the only place left to sit was on the sofa, just across from the Maharaj on the same level. So, okay, so he sat down on the sofa. And this Maharaj gave the lecture. And Sanatan was watching him. He was hoping, maybe this is the sadhu I'm looking for. Maybe this is my guru. But it didn't click. And he felt very sad. Not good. So then after that, he thought, I'll go back to Los Angeles. But he couldn't find a ride back because the Maharaj's talks were continuing for a few days. So he thought, anyway, I'll stay for another class. And this time it was in the Berkeley Temple. And he was sitting in the back. And in that class, suddenly Gorgovinda Maharaj noticed him and said, hey, what's your name? Sanatan Das. If you know our friend Rasikananda, he's a very shy person. Sanatan, you come sit right here. Oh. So he came and sat right up front. And then suddenly, much to his horror, he's a very shy person, Gorgovinda Maharaj started hammering him. So, do you know the translation to this verse, Sanatan Das? Blah, 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 blah. No. You don't know. How long have you been a devotee now? Blah, 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 for 6 years. 6 years, and you don't know the meaning of this verse. He was horrified. But then suddenly something happened. And it all started making sense to him. And what Maharaj was saying really penetrated his heart. And he started getting some hope. And he thought, maybe this is my Gurudev. And then he thought to himself, he started praying to Gorni Thai, who were there in the temple, please give me some sign. I had a bad experience before. Let me know if this is really my guru. And he thought, Gorni Thai, if it's really my guru, then he'll give me his garland after the class. He thought like that. He was praying that. And one person had given Gorgovinda Maharaj a garland. Someone else came and gave him a garland. And Sanatan had forgotten about his prayer. And then at the end of the class, Maharaj stood up and he took off his garland and he turned around and gave it to some other devotee. And then Sanatan remembered his prayer and his heart sank. And he turned away. He was ready to cry. He felt very sad. And then suddenly, Gorgovinda Maharaj took off his other garland, and without even looking, he threw it, and it hit Sanatan in the chest. Oh my God. And so he thought, this is my guru. Good fortune has arisen. He went back to Los Angeles, and one of his friends was there, who also had a very bad attitude. All the gurus are bogus, there's no one qualified. A very sad attitude. He was thinking like that. And Sanatan arrived and said, hey, Murli, there's a sadhu in the temple. You come and hear him tonight. Bhargavinda Maharaj is giving a talk there. Some really said, I don't know. There's somebody who said, no, he's the real deal. And really said, well, I hope so. So they were walking to the temple, and then Sanatana told him, it's a little hard to understand in his accent and things, so you should sit right up front. So then Murali came in and sat down right up front, and then he noticed, hey, where's Sanatana? And he saw that Sanatana was sitting in the back. Why is he doing like that? And then the Maharaj began the class, and he was a nice Maharaj, Indian person, quoting some verses, and all of a sudden, much to his horror, Bhagavan Maharaj said, hey, what is your name? Yes, you. Murali Krishna. Murali Krishna, really? Murali Krishna, are you the real Das of Murali Krishna, or are you just a pretender? And he started hammering him. And suddenly Murali Krishna realized in his heart, this is my Gurudev. This is the person that I've been looking for. And he knew that thing. So this is some message I would like to give in our movement. Not a sectarian message about a particular sadhu, not this Amar Guru, Jagat Guru business, but a bigger message that Krishna is present and the sadhu is always present. We need something mystical in our movement. This Krishna conscious movement is based on a mystical principle. Mysticism means when you have some direct experience with God. Krishna says in the Gita, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. This knowledge is the best, the most confidential, the most purifying. And Pratyak Savagamam Dharamyam. It's meant to be practically realized. We don't need theoretical speeches about this or that. We don't need Krishna Prem Rup Prabhu's list of all the different gurus in ISKCON with their photographs. We only need one thing. Or we might say two. Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Dhamma, Bhakti Yoga, Krishna, Namaskara, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. The only thing that we need is Krishna's name, and we need to cry, Atma Krandana. And if we do that with sincerity, then we'll see. Krishna will send us guru. Good fortune will arise in our life. It's not an institutional consideration. It's something very real and very dynamic. And it's the beginning of our spiritual life, not life membership or giving donations or passing bhakti shastri or this thing or that thing. With all respect to those very nice programs, our spiritual life begins when we cry to Krishna. And then Krishna manifests before us in the form of sadhu. That's when good fortune arises. So we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha kopataru vishchai. Kripa sindhu vivachai. Kripa namapavani. Vaishnavi.
So we have this new book. There are a few copies available outside there. And if anybody wants, I thought you can even sign them. And it's 25 francs, and it's really nice. I got so much inspiration by helping to make it. So I think everybody will get some inspiration by reading a little bit.
So are there any questions or comments from anyone about these topics? Anything?
Thank you very much. Wonderful.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanandi. Krishna Prem Rup Prabhu. I don't want to get in trouble with the temple program. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.